Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast, where we interview speakers, business owners, entrepreneurs, and authors. This month is very special. It's the World Cup. It's an international soccer tournament that is the biggest sporting event in the world. And with the culture of events, this month's guest is Joshua Robinson and Jonathan Clegg. They are authors of the book Messi versus Ronaldo, One Rivalry, Two Goats, and the Era That Remade the World's Game. For over 15 years, almost any conversation about international soccer has always come back to these two players, Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. Undoubtedly the greatest of their generation, but with styles, attitudes, and fan bases that couldn't be more different. For millions of people around the world, including me, would ask, Messi or Ronaldo isn't simply a barroom argument or an affirmation of fandom so much as a statement of philosophy, of values, of what global soccer is today and what it will be tomorrow. So this interview with Jonathan and Joshua was conducted in the Sportscast, which is a subsidiary of Sleon Productions. We talked about, obviously, the inception of these two individuals, what they're doing today in the future, but also the lack of capitalizing these two players. There was definitely a lack of exposure, maybe here in the U.S. TV rights were a little bit difficult to watch them, and also other parts of the world. So I hope you enjoyed this interview. I'll give you some energy before the World Cup. So let's begin. What got you guys to write this book, Messi versus Ronaldo?
So we had written a previous book about the rise of the Premier League and how it really took over the world from, you know, something that that was only formed in 1992. And from there, I think you could look at, that explained the rise of the most powerful league. And to us, it was time to kind of examine the careers of the most powerful players, you know, the guys who really shaped this entire era, because it's not a double biography of these guys. It's not just about their achievements on the field. It's really about looking at how their mere presence and their impact on the two of the biggest clubs in soccer really rippled out across the whole game and the business.
Jonathan, your experience writing this book, what caught your attention?
Well, I think when we set out, we knew that Messi and Ronaldo were obviously the dominant players of the last 20 years, and we knew that they'd had huge impact on the game. But I don't think we realized, you know, quite when we set out, quite how much sort of all the developments that have happened in soccer over the last, you know, two decades could be traced back to them, how they sort of worked as these two forces of gravity in the game, almost like reshaping the soccer universe. And so I think, you know, when you look at things like the upcoming World Cup in Qatar, which, you know, this is a tournament that's being staged in the middle of the desert, in the middle of the, you know, in the middle of the European soccer season, the first time ever the World Cup has been played in November. It's a crazy situation. And yet when you break it down, it's, you can sort of trace a lot of that, a lot of how we got here to the careers of Messi and Ronaldo and how they sort of transformed the entire business and ecosystem of soccer. So I think, yeah, that just how far reaching their impacts were, how it extended so far beyond the field and the trophy rooms of the clubs that they played for, was something that only when we started piecing things together did we realize, you know, quite how big their impact had been.
Lionel Messi from Argentina, Cristiano Ronaldo from Portugal. Tell us about their upbringings and the similarities and the differences from the two.
You know, they grew up 5,000 miles away in two vastly different countries, but they're the similarity for both of them, I think, is that they were both kind of outsiders. You know, Messi is not from Buenos Aires. He's from 3 hours north of there in Rosario. And his whole life was told he was undersized and then moved to Barcelona when he was 12 years old. And, you know, there he was not like the kids who usually came through the Barcelona Youth Academy. He was mocked mercilessly by his teammates for his Argentine accent. He was very quiet. And the same was true of Cristiano, who grew up in Madeira, which is an island in the middle of the Atlantic. And closer to Morocco than to Portugal. And he moved to Lisbon to go play for Sporting Lisbon, also around the age of 12. And same thing, had a different accent. He was seen as, you know, kind of a kid from the backwaters. And so I think in many ways that spurred them on. And that's one of the real similarities between them at that stage of their careers, even though they went on to have vastly different approaches to the game.
Can you tell us about their agents? I know you had a chapter on the two Georges. What was the whole, like, the beginning when they got into the clubs of Barcelona? And I mean, obviously Ronaldo went to Man United first, but I think before that, I think he went to a club in Portugal. But tell us about once they hit professional clubs.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that their agents, Cristiano Ronaldo's longtime agent, Jorge Mendes, and Messi's agent is his father, Jorge Messi. You could argue that their impact has been like almost as big as their clients, because certainly Jorge Mendes has gone from, you know, he was a video store clerk before he got into the business of being a soccer agent. He had sort of dabbled in with some sort of slightly lower tier players, but when he hitched his ride to Ronaldo and sort of followed the comet that was Cristiano Ronaldo's career, in the process, Jorge Mendes transformed himself into arguably the most powerful figure in world football. He now literally masterminds entire clubs' transfer strategies. He has a host of clients that he kind of moves around, switching between different teams each off season, like he's moving pieces on the chessboard. As much as Cristiano Ronaldo has changed the game, a lot of that has come through his agent, who has, you know, sort of harnessed the power of Ronaldo's success and popularity, and turned himself into this hugely powerful figure. Jorge Messi didn't have quite the same level of ambition as Jorge Mendes. He was sort of solely focused on looking after his son. But the two of them together really transformed the entire business of professional soccer. And that's one of the lasting legacies of Ronaldo. Long after Cristiano Ronaldo is retired, Jorge Mendes will still be pulling the strings behind some of Europe's biggest clubs.
Yeah, Jorge Mendes has dealt with bigger players as well, James Rodriguez and some others. So he definitely has made a name for himself. Not sure if Jorge Messi is going to be agent to other players, but we'll see. How much of an impact has these guys, that these two players have made for their club? Revenue and just global outreach?
It's sort of been a double-edged sword. I think, no one would dispute that for the better part of the 2000s and 2010s, they lifted clubs to unprecedented heights. I mean, Messi was, one of the key pieces of arguably the best club side in the history of football, which was Guardiola's Barcelona. And then, you know, later on, as Real Madrid was rattling off Champions League titles, Ronaldo was at the center of that. But the other side of it is that because they were so good for so long, and the clubs felt a responsibility to continue signing major stars to give them chances to win, and in the process, indebted themselves to, you know, the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, by the time Messi left Barcelona, their debt was over $1 billion. And so there's an element of looking back on that period and wondering, you know, was it all worth it? Because the clubs have, in a very real sense, mortgage their futures to capitalize on the primes of Messi and Ronaldo.
How about La Liga? You know, obviously, like, the Premier League is the biggest league in the world right now, but how much of an impact when those two players were in La Liga, how much did it help La Liga get noticed all around the world?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly helped Spanish football, you know, on the field. You know, as Josh said, you know, for the late 2000s, early 2010s, you know, Barcelona and Real Madrid were the two dominant clubs in the world. In fact, they became almost like world all-star teams because they were led by Messi and Ronaldo. But everyone in the game knew that to win the Champions League, you had to kind of be either playing with Messi or Ronaldo. And so a whole host of the you know, world's top players came to join Messi and Ronaldo and to sort of piggyback on their success by playing alongside them. So, yeah, you know, the on-field product was elevated by them, like, to a huge degree. I mean, they are by far the most famous players on the planet, perhaps the most famous players to have ever existed. And so all that brought a spotlight onto La Liga that hadn't been there before. Now, the question is, how much did La Liga capitalize on the Messi-Ronaldo era? Because it was already lagging behind the Premier League in terms of the revenues that its teams were bringing in every season. And even though Real Madrid and Barcelona could compete with the Premier League's big guns, the rest of the league were also rans in terms of, you know, the actual business of soccer. And I think when you look back, you could argue that La Liga really kind of failed to capitalize on the Messi-Ronaldo era because even though some changes have happened and there is more revenue sharing than there was in the past, and, you know, that was sort of the Premier League secret sauce in a way, was to divide all its revenue between its 20 clubs to ensure kind of top to bottom competitiveness. And that, you know, brought in a viewers and made every game kind of appointment viewing. La Liga hasn't done that to quite the same degree. I think to a large, you know, portion of soccer fans, it's still like Real Madrid, Barcelona, and then everyone else. And they don't really, you know, have a strong sense of the other clubs that make up the Spanish top flight. But so I think you could argue that La Liga didn't really kind of capitalize on that era as it might have done.
Did you guys ever figure out if they had a relationship with each other? Did they, you know, have, you know, pass text messages, or did they hang out during the off season? What did you guys figure out there?
They very clearly don't have a relationship. they don't seem to particularly like each other all that much. I think that was certainly true earlier in their careers. Now there appears to be a healthy respect. And it was at an awards show in Monaco in 2019 where they were sitting next to each other, and Ronaldo mentioned almost in passing that he and Messi had never sat down to a meal together. So that's, you know, they don't really need to have a relationship for people to construct the narratives that they want to project onto them. And it's certainly not like they're in the same place all that much either. You know, over the course of their careers, they've been on the same pitch maybe three dozen times. It's very different from some of the classic rivalries we've seen in other sports. You know, if you have a rival in the NBA, you might play them, you know, a dozen times in a season, you know, between the regular season and a long playoff series. Roger and Rafa, for instance, inhabited the same tennis circuit for two decades and were, you know, might have faced off in Grand Slams four times a year. So it's one of those things where the rivalry kind of mushroomed from not all that much actual, you know, shared moments.
Something to definitely compare to American sports, American leagues. What other two players in the States in the past or maybe present that you compare Messi versus Ronaldo?
You mean to stars in other sports?
Yeah, correct. NBA, yeah. NFL. Or...
Yeah, well, I think so. Ronaldo's a pretty obvious one, I think. Ronaldo is basically Kobe Bryant, but the soccer version. Insane, level of competitiveness, absolute dedication to, being in peak physical condition. You know, for Kobe's, like, you know, 2 a.m. shoot arounds, Reed Ronaldo's like 3 a.m. ice baths. They're both just like maniacally competitive guys who also kind of had that thing of like, I'm the best player. You know, I'm the best player. I know I'm the best player, and there's nothing you can do to stop me. They both sort of had embodied that same attitude. Messi, you know, we talked about this just the other day. Messi is a kind of trickier one to pin down. I think, you know, Steph Curry maybe, as a guy who, you know, doesn't look like a lot of the other kind of like basketball unicorns we got at the moment, but still was able to kind of mold the NBA to his game. I think there's like some Patrick Mahomes in Messi, just in terms of like playing in a way that we've not never really seen before, and with a kind of in a style that kind of just evokes a lot of joy in people who watch. You know, Mahomes is just like fun to watch, and Messi's the same. So somewhere in that Steph Curry, Patrick Mahomes sphere is Messi.
Well enough. After they left La Liga, of course, Messi went to PSG. Ronaldo went to Juventus for a season, then to Man United. How do you see the careers right now?
We're very much in the sort of the twilight. It's, you know, for Messi's resurgence right now, this season at PSG, last year made for difficult watching. And, you know, we don't know really how sustainable this run of form is right now, because he's, you know, peaking. He's done everything so that he can peak at the World Cup. For Cristiano Ronaldo, it's much clearer that this is the end. You know, he can't even get in the starting lineup at Man United right now. I think it's pretty certain that he'll leave. And then where he'll go is a real mystery, because we know he wants to play on a Champions League club. There don't seem to be that many Champions League clubs that can actually offer him a home right now. So it's, you know, there will be, I think, moves for both of them in the nearest future. You know, the latest rumor is that Messi would possibly make the jump to MLS with Inter Miami, which would be a signal to everyone that this is really it. And Cristiano will move on too. So this is, you know, but I think for both of them, the focus the past 18 months or so has really been on getting to this World Cup and taking one last shot at the title that neither of them has.
Yeah, Ronaldo has won the Euro Cup, and then Messi won the Copa America, both from the confederations. They want that one title to be in the same line as Ronaldo, Messi, and Zidane. Let's stick with that. Where do you guys see Messi ending up? MLS, stay in PSG, or maybe go back to La Liga?
I think that's it. I think those three options, one of those will turn out right. I struggle to see him staying at PSG, if I'm honest. And I had thought that a return to Barcelona would be in the cards, but it does sound like the Miami rumor has some legs, and you know, I could definitely see the sort of mooted inclusion of like an ownership stake in the team being something that would be of interest to Messi, because, you know, I think when you look at what their careers will hold beyond their playing days, I don't really see either of them getting into coaching, especially Messi. It's hard to imagine him, you know, as a not the most communicative person at the best of times, you know, becoming the manager and public face of a soccer club. So I think the ownership stake, you know, is the sort of thing that might persuade Messi that now's the time to make the move to MLS. I think a lot of it will depend on what happens at the World Cup. You know, if Messi wins the World Cup with Argentina, which is definitely possible, I would imagine he will retire from international football. And then that sort of thing makes a move to MLS, you know, easier, because the pressure to be playing at the very like top of the game would probably not be quite so strong.
A tough prediction is Ronaldo. Obviously, Lily, there's been rumors about Lisbon, perhaps Asia. For the United States, I've been hearing that court case, the other person appealed it, so maybe MLS is like less of a chance. But what have you heard about Ronaldo?
Well, Ronaldo's very much at the end of the road. So I think he definitely is focused on padding his numbers in the Champions League. If there is a possible return to Lisbon, that would make a lot of sense. He'd have to take a huge pay cut, but maybe he has a change of heart and decides that the chance to bang in a few more in the group stage of the Champions League is worth it.
Him part of the team. They should give him part of the team too. Part of Sporting.
he'd automatically increase their transfer budget many times over. There's been a Napoli rumor as well. So, that could be a possibility as a rental effectively, 6 months or a year. So I think the future is murkier for him, although even though he's 37 now, he probably wants to stick around for at least the Euros and then call it a day.
Yeah, the thing with Ronaldo is that, like, even as his powers are clearly on the wane, he still has that stardust that some, most European soccer clubs are owned by complete maniacs, and one of them will want that to sprinkle some of that Ronaldo stardust on their team and get the 400 million Instagram followers and yada yada, because the spotlight follows him, and for many clubs, perhaps not the very top tier that Cristiano Ronaldo is looking at, but for the ones slightly lower down, like Napoli, for instance, Ronaldo would do a lot to just raise the profile of the club globally, today it means a lot for some of those clubs.
Yeah, we'll definitely see what happens. Now, going to the closing part of the show, what do you want people to get out of this book?
I think for us, what we'd like people to take away is not just a better understanding of, what has made Messi and Ronaldo so great and ultimately so similar, even though they're portrayed as polar opposites. I think what we hope the people take away from the book is also a larger understanding of the mechanics of European soccer and how, decisions by just a couple of clubs around a couple of players can have an impact that, reshapes and occasionally threatens to revolutionize the game. It was after those years of really profligate spending by Barcelona and Real Madrid that they found themselves in dire financial straits and needing to push for a project like the Super League. So all of these things are connected, and that's one of the main points we wanted to make in the book.
How about you, Jonathan?
Even if you feel like you have followed the careers of Messi and Ronaldo, even if you can kind of recall the times they faced each other and their most impressive moments on the field, I think that what we hope that this book will do is, really kind of explain everything beyond that, right? Everything off the field. We really hope to illuminate the kind of worlds these guys inhabit, how much they transformed the game, their clubs. They crossed paths with some of the most wild, colorful characters in the game. And I think if you want to really understand modern football, Messi and Ronaldo are the perfect vehicle to do that. This book really explains where we are, where we are right now, where the game is headed, and how much Messi and Ronaldo have been responsible for that trajectory. So even if you feel like you know their stories, I think there's still a ton in here. There's been a lot of news that's come out of the book already, but there's just a ton in here that people will learn.
Yeah, a lot of behind the scenes. Definitely recommend the book. In closing, what is the best way to get the book and also your contact information?
The book is available anywhere books are sold. So, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all the usual spots. And you can follow us on Twitter. I'm Josh Robinson, 23.
And I'm @CleggJohn, CleggJohn.